Hi, and welcome to Crippled System Oddcast number 2. This is Dan, and I don't know what I play right now.
This is Jake. I'm playing Signar till the end of the WITC, and then I'm going to play Trolls.
Number 2. Like poop. Poop.
And hi, I'm Dave, and I am playing Retribution at the moment.
Are you now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was a cool topic of conversation. I'm glad we went into that in more detail.
Yes.
All right. Expecting more than just monosyllabic responses. I thought you would go into the excitement involved in playing Retribution.
Oh, Retribution is awesome. I mean, I've been...
Justification of switching and...
Yeah. And on that note of Retribution, I am selling my Retribution right now, please.
Shut up.
If you're interested, let me know.
So why Retribution?
Both people that listen to this podcast already know that.
I know, but I sold my Protectorate from the last time I gave a shout-out to it on this podcast. Admittedly, it was someone who was in this room and heard me say that, not someone who listened to the podcast. But by God, I made a sale.
So basically, what you're telling me is it would have been more effective if you stood up, walked 6 feet over, and said, I'm selling my Protectorate, as opposed to advertising it on the podcast.
No, he was like right over there, so it actually worked out like 100% efficiency.
Ah,
it was perfect. Because he was only paying attention to what I was saying because we were all gathered around microphones.
Okay.
God damn
so you
Jake.
Looked important.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, I'm Nathan, and I play Mega Civilization. I'm going to do nothing else for the rest of my life.
One game of Mega Civilization.
Yeah.
How long is that game supposed to last?
No, it's actually quick. It only takes about 12 hours.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They shorten it down to like 12 hours,
Are
so it's nice and quick.
So we're going to play a game of that soon, right?
Yes.
I would... Speaking of actually long games, it is one of my dreams to actually get my copy. I haven't played my copy of Empires at Arms in a long time, and the last time I played it, I only played the two-player campaign, which is, whatever, 17, 18 hours long. But the full campaign with the max player count is 300 hours long.
Wow.
And so I still dream of arranging a group and playing that thing.
Yeah. What's that
Sign
game like?
Up, man.
It's Napoleonic era war, and the instructions read like stereo instructions. Like they have no joke, they'll have like section 12.8.3.7.2.4.1, and it'll explain how French cavalry retreats, and then 12.8.2.7.3.2 will explain Prussians, and like it's insane, it's amazing.
This now sounds like a lot of fun.
Also, what's great is your armies are that you have to have leader tokens on them, and the leaders have their amongst many of their stats. One of the stats is how good they are as a leader, and another stat is how high ranking they are, and those aren't related to each other. So, like, you have Peter the Great, who is the worst leader in the entire game, but he's also the highest ranking. So, any army he's in, he'll automatically be in charge and suck at it. So, what you have to do is go like, "Oh, hey, Peter, why don't you take this infantry unit and check out Siberia for a while?" And then he moseys through there feeling all important and doesn't lose you Russia.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
What's the player count for that?
Oh, I forget the max player count. I'll check it while you talk about something else.
No, Jake, if you think those of us painted miniatures tabletop gamers are weird about rules, you have never seen Napoleonics. It is in a tier by itself.
Seriously?
Oh, yes.
Famously, Yeesh. Conquest of North Africa. Or
yes.
Campaign of North... Something
it's,
in North
it's
Africa.
A campaign
it's
for campaign North,
North
Africa.
Africa. So Empires in Arms is about twice as complicated as that game is.
Yeah.
And Campaign for North Africa famously has the pasta rule, which is that the Italian army uses more of the water commodity because they need it to boil their rations.
I don't know if this is actually true, but there's been a rumor going around that when you buy that game, it actually comes with a pack of pasta.
No.
No?
No.
I've heard that as a rumor online.
And I heard that there was a ghost on Three Men and a Baby.
There was, though.
No, there was a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson from a deleted scene. That's why the ghost is a 5-foot-tall miniature Ted Danson with a top hat.
Wait, what was the deleted scene for that?
He's in a commercial for something, and he's wearing a top hat. Like, there's a whole subplot about, because he's an actor in the film.
Yeah.
And there's a subplot about one of the ad campaigns he's in, and that's a cardboard cutout from it. You can see it in other scenes, not behind the curtains. The deleted scene is him taking it and putting it behind the curtain to hide it for some reason. I don't remember why. It's not a fucking ghost. Also, that was not a midget hanging itself in the background of Wizard of Oz. It was a stork spreading its wings. Anyway, 7 is the max player count.
Okay. It's a competitive then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's depends. I mean, it's teams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, 300-hour max campaign. Weight complexity is only 4.43 out of 5. That is bullshit that it did not get a 5. I'm offended.
Then
what the
now,
hell is
you,
a 5?
Can you rank games by complexity? What is the highest one?
I'll go into the complexity rating of, that's a poll. I don't want that. How
like
do I
Labyrinth,
just...
maybe?
Labyrinth?
Yeah. It's made by the same guys who made Twilight Struggle.
Yeah?
That game's pretty complicated.
Not even the same thing.
I will go home right now and get the instruction manual for Twilight Struggle, or not Twilight, for fucking Empires in Arms, and you will shit yourself. You will actually projectile, you will fly through the air shitting yourself at how complicated these games can be.
I'm kind of interested.
It's glorious. It's amazing.
In slow motion, like Chappelle.
Mm-hmm. I can't figure out how
to level you up, Quincy.
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen here.
I turned 25 earlier this week, and now you guys are going to blow my mind.
Yes,
I can rent a car legally now, guys. Yeah, get ready.
Ooh, I can't find on BoardGameGeek how to rank all board games by weight to see, you know, what they consider a 5. Well, I can at least see this is 4.43. We can go for campaign for North Africa, and you guys can watch me search instead of filling the airtime.
Well, I'm not sure what to say. I'm not on many podcasts.
Talk about Valerian.
Oh, yeah, Valerian. So I saw Valerian with my wife about 2 weeks ago, and I've never been that angry at a movie in my life. It is one of the absolute worst films I've ever seen, and I will fight anyone who loves it. It is admittedly pretty gorgeous, but the guy who plays the main character, I think his name is Dane DeHaan, has the charisma of a corpse. It's terrible, and I just hate that movie. Has anyone else here seen it, or am I talking to a microphone alone?
You're talking alone.
Damn it.
Expound.
The rest of us are smart. We didn't see the movie
start
with. And I have a young child. So
I saw, I mean, it's because it's made by Luc Besson, who's the guy who made The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the female lead's character, can't remember her name because they never say it. I'm like Valerians who they say 50,000 times. And there isn't a second female character with lines in it until Rihanna shows up randomly, like 120 minutes into the movie. It has got 3 cold openings, none of which have to do with anything, although it does open with David Bowie playing Space Oddity, which is pretty nice. Anyways.
I want a map of that sentence you just tried to make, because it literally didn't end, and there were 17 first halves of sentences.
There was a billion of them.
Yeah.
People cannot see your hand moving, Dan. I just want to let you know that.
Yeah, I know. Luc Besson also made Lucy, so maybe don't blindly trust Luc Besson anymore.
Yeah, that's true. But still, like, Fifth Element was great. The Fun Nikita was great.
At this point, we have to say that Fifth Element was a fluke.
Campaign for North Africa's got a 4.92 out of 5.
Okay. Well, I mean, he also made Leon the Professional, which is a really good movie. Like, he's got, like, 3 good movies in there somewhere. But the female character, can't remember her name because I'm a terrible person. It's actually Loreline because the comic was great. She's got a speech at the end of that. And it basically could end with her saying love is truly the fifth element, because it's the exact same speech from Fifth Element. It's also got Clive Owen being fucking terrible.
Does she have to make out with Mia Jovovich to save the universe?
No.
Because I'm in if that happens.
It would make the movie, at least something would happen. There is this part, though, that is actually really cool, because there's a part where Blank Face runs through the entire city and is like crashing from world to world. Because it's like all the worlds in the universe basically staple gun themselves together to the International Space Station, and they all kind of coexist.
It's like Sigil.
It's like Sigil. And then there's a part where Dane DeHaan is running through all these things, and I swear to God, it's amazingly beautiful watching him crash from world to world, and the world building is so fascinating. But like so many science fiction movies that come out now, the world building is the only thing that's there that's interesting, because he's got the charisma of a black hole. Like,
yes, but you can find people to do special effects at college who need internship credit.
Yeah,
you're
say,
finding
it
writers.
Like, it sounds like a special effects budget in search of a movie.
I think it. Yeah, that kind of sounds right.
Directed
but like
by Michael Bay.
What's weird about it, though, is that like it's coming from this 60-year-long French comic series that is amazing. There's any number of stories they could pull out of it that would be really good and really interesting. Instead, they made up one that is just terrible. And the film comes to a crushing halt like every 15 to 20 minutes so that someone can be like, so just in case you're confused because nothing happened, we're going to tell you things. And it's just like a massive exposition dump followed by a set piece of nonsense. But like the world itself is really cool, and it's like really disappointing when science fiction films do this, because they go from a fascinating, interesting world filled with blank slates. Also, it's anti-Semitic, because there's these three little, like, basically Jewish characters running around saying, "We'll tell you anything for a price," and it's just terrible. It's just terrible. Go watch that movie and then yell at it. Actually, don't watch it.
Rules.
Pirate it.
Empires in Arms Rules, Section 4.0, the political phase. The actions of the political phase occur in the following order of steps during this phase only. The exceptions to this is declaration of war, which can also occur at other specified times. See 4.3, 4.6.4.2, 4.6.5, 6.3.1.2.2, and 7.3.8.3.
I think you wrote Quimby.
Holy shit.
Rule Section 4.1, the diplomacy step, and so on.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Has someone, like, rewritten this on BoardGameGeek to actually be readable yet?
This is the clarified readable version. I shit you not. I downloaded the PDF of the clarified version of the rules, and the clarified version includes rule subsection 6.3.1.2.2.
Oh, my God.
We should check what 6.3.1.2.2 is, because it violates the standard 4.0 political phase scheme. Go on with Valerian while I look that up.
I just...
Okay, Valerian was bad.
Yes, but it's literally got three cold openings, and the movie actually starts 45 minutes into it. And it is, like, I think it's only, like, 150 minutes, which is an interminable length for a film. Like, there should be, like, a hard cap at 120 unless you have, like, Spielberg behind the camera.
Or 90, you know.
Yeah, like 120 is still a long-ass movie, but, like, 150 just goes on forever and ever. Like, that's a Michael Bay-length film. But it's, like... It's got three cold openings that literally have nothing to do with anything that happens after it, besides being like exposition dump, being like, oh, hey, so we shot this thing earlier and we thought it all looked pretty cool. So we're like, we're going to very, 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 very weakly tie it into everything that's happened before then.
Is one of the expositions just 20 minutes of talking over Starfield?
No, but there is a literally soundless sequence at the... Not soundless. A dialogue-less sequence at the beginning where a... fish woman gets like a gerbil or something that like drops a pearl on it and it starts shitting out pearls.
That's my fetish.
So what you're saying is that it's clear that they paid the special effects budget at the beginning.
It cost $100
by David Lynch.
No, it was a $200 million film. $200 million. French taxpayer money went to this movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, German taxpayer movie went to all the Ubo ones.
That's true.
Seriously?
Including Blubberella with inexplicable fish. You want to talk about fish women?
Wait, hold on. German taxpayer money went to Ubo?
Yeah, Uwe Boll's films are all tax havens. He's rich off of them because they're paid for by the German government in a desperate attempt to make people want to film movies in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S.
This is changing
my
life.
Yeah, that's like similar to why ABBA wore stupid costumes, is because if you could prove that your costume was too stupid to wear in real life, you could deduct it as a tax deduction because it was part of your job.
Huh.
That way, you know, if you were like a lion tamer, you were like, yeah, I don't wear this shit to the store. Obviously,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a work expense. And so ABBA's like, yeah, no rational human would have worn this. It was obviously for concerts only. And then they would just wear them day to day because they got them for free as a tax deduction.
Wow, that's incredible.
But like, yeah, in Blubberella, which is a parody of, what is that fucking vampire movie? There was the games. They were like PlayStation.
Blood Rain.
Oh, Blood Rain.
Blood Rain.
Yeah.
So Blubberella is a parody of Blood Rain, where she's like morbidly obese and battles Nazis. And like, there's a scene where she's talking to somebody in the foreground, and there's a bunch of Jews being loaded into a train in the background, because this is hilarious to have in your satire comical
yeah.
movie. But in the line
it
of
makes
people,
sense if you're German.
In the line of people, it's just someone in a fish costume. For no reason, and it's never mentioned or justified. Because Uwe Boll was literally a madman. Probably because of all the boxing and the brain damage from it.
Yeah, there like
I was going to say that there was at least the good part of that story when he beat the shit out of Lotex.
Lotex thought it was going to be a wacky fun day, and then he got his shit handed to him.
I kind of wish like when they make films like Blubberella, or I think he also made a film called In the Name of the King.
Yes.
But, like Jason Statham was that, and
Jason Statham apologized for that?
He did. But like I wish at the end of those films...
John Rhys Davies apologizes for nothing.
But at the end of those movies, I wish it would just like show a picture of Jason Statham and then what he bought with the money from that movie. Like it was just like Jason Statham on a boat.
Or, I mean,
sadly, John Rhys Davies had like a divorce notice, because they're always paying for something with that crap.
Oh yeah, It's like Brendan Fraser explaining why he did movies like Furry Vengeance. And he was like, kids are expensive.
Yeah. Michael Caine.
Cage is like, I need to make rent.
Yeah, and buy dinosaur skulls and shit.
Turkish propaganda film.
Yeah. Michael Caine was in Jaws for the Revenge, and he literally got asked once, have you ever seen it? And he goes, no, but I saw the house it built, and it's spectacular.
And he could not accept his Oscar for, was it Hannah and Her Children?
It was magnificent. No, I thought it was the Cider House Rules.
No, you're off by like 20 years if you say Cider House Rules.
Okay.
I don't think that, well, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sorry, I'm distracted by, you know, this gobbledygook.
Section 4.7.3.2.5.
Yeah, no, you aren't wrong. Because what it is literally every sentence has its own. Like, for example, where is this good one? I scrolled too far. So 6.2.3.1.2.1. A fleet entering a point, or even if you're right, that's 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 1, not 1 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1. Anyway, 6.2.3.1.2.1, a fleet entering a port, which must always be done through a blockade box, see 6.2.1.2, may not be intercepted unless the phasing player announces that he wishes to be intercepted. This is an exception to the rule of automatic interception of blockade box, see 6.2.3.1.2.3. And then the next sentence is 6.2.3.1.2.2. A fleet in a port may only intercept enemy fleets during the adjacency area and then only if not blockaded. And then you get to the aforementioned 6.2.3.1.2.3, which is a fleet entering a blockade box may only be intercepted by enemy fleets which currently occupy that blockade box, and a fleet in a blockade box may only intercept enemy fleets which enter the blockade box, and the interception is automatic if attempted. So that was literally two sentences later, so it didn't need to mention to see it. I would have seen it two sentences later.
You know, I bet I could train an artificial intelligence to generate just a book of rules like this, and it would take you at least 20 minutes to figure out that it was all bullshit.
Well, except the thing is, it's not bullshit. They just needlessly number every sentence.
I feel like if we ever played this, we'd need lawyers to help.
Yeah, like, for real, I don't know if I can play this, guys.
This isn't Mega Civ.
This is Empire Norm.
I know. I was super excited about this after you described it, but now I'm just like, it's actually super awesome, guys.
It's actually super awesome.
Oh, boy.
After you take the college-level course to understand the rules and, you know, whatever this game's version of the bar exam is.
Oh, what are you majoring in? Board game rule reading?
I wonder if the community is idiots or honest here. I don't know. Board Game Geek gave Mega Civ a 3.8 out of 5. The Civ games are actually super simple. Like, I wouldn't think they'd be over a 3.
It's Hannah and Her Sisters came out in 1986, and Cider House Rules was 99, so I'm guessing Hannah and Her Sisters.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyways, you never finished that story.
I was telling a story?
He didn't accept the Oscar for...
Oh, Hannah and Her Sisters, because he was busy filming Jaws 4, The Revenge, and that's a travesty. Jaws 4, to be fair, what shark wouldn't want revenge against the widow of the man that killed it twice?
This time it's personal was the tagline, but they're a bunch of goddamn sharks.
Wait, no.
Is Jaws 4 the one with the psychic shark?
Yes. The shark that when they get on a plane and fly to a different continent, the shark knows where they're going and beats them there.
Isn't that Sharknado?
No.
Speaking of which, Sharknado 5 apparently was on this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
There was a deleted opening to it, and it was basically...
Sharknado 5?
To Jaws for the Revenge. And it literally is just a voiceover over, like, just a camera moving across water with people just saying, like, sometimes things happen and we don't know why. Yep, that's what this movie is. Congratulations.
Okay, so yeah, I had heard that Sharknado 5 was out, and I'd heard of Sharknado, and I said, I actually just want to know, were there a 2, 3, and 4, or is this a joke?
Okay. Yes.
Well, those aren't exclusive statements. There were a 2, 3, and 4, and this is a joke.
Okay.
Yes. It's kind of like... These are like
my
like
theory for this production company is, once again, there are a bunch of people who need to get intern credits for their computer graphics programs, so they're just making these movies. Everyone knows they're bad, but they're getting their hours in so they can graduate.
What's like, I really don't like these movies, because I'm fine with like a crappy film as long as it's made earnestly. But like all the Sharknado films...
How do you make a crappy film earnestly?
What?
How do you make a crappy film earnestly?
Go watch The Room. Like that
he was trying.
That film is... He tries so hard. So hard, but it's terrible. But like with Sharknado, those movies aren't like an earnest attempt at making something cool that just fails.
Sharknado is an Asylum film, okay? Asylum is a production company, and Asylum makes two different types of movies. They make Sharknado style bad on purpose films, which make money because they are super cheap to make, and people watch them ironically and buy them ironically, so they make money. And they make Transmorphers 2. because you put that in a bargain bin and grandma thinks it's Transformers 2 and buys it for you for Christmas.
Yeah, although I think their business model hurt a bit when like Blockbuster closed because they were like, hey, look, we have our movie in the rental stores while this is still in theaters. Someone's dumb enough to pick it up.
They also
but they still Redbox that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a Beauty and the Beast in Redbox right now that's just some... That one's not Asylum, because Asylum, you know, there's no place to have a submarine in Beauty and the Beast.
What are you talking about?
Asylum has a submarine in every one of their films because it's the most expensive set that they have in their studio, and so they use it constantly. That's why, like, all their movies involve, like, aliens and sharks and stuff, because they can film inside that submarine set. But
and they've already paid for the costumes.
Oh, yeah. They have the costume. They have the set, so just make it happen. There's a... They are disproportionately either in space and they just make it a spaceship instead, or water-based. I mean, they have the Sharknado, they have Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, they had Three-Headed Shark Attack, they have all of these movies because then they can be in a submarine. But anyway, yeah, Redbox. Like, you throw that Beauty and the Beast on there and people rent it, and haha, joke's on you, I got your dollar.
Yeah. I know they got sued a couple years ago for it, but they won pretty easily. So we can keep looking forward to great Asylum films.
I watched Zombies about zombies in a zoo. The animals were all zombified.
It can't be any worse than Michael Bay.
We literally, ironically, watched Transmorphers or whatever it was.
Better than Transformers.
And it was better than Transformers. By a pretty, like, you could more easily understand what was going on the screen.
Let me ask a question. How many people urinated on Stanley Tucci?
Zero.
There you go.
Yep.
Oh, not Stanley Tucci. God damn it. Stanley Tucci's different. He's in like, the fourth one. What's the other guy?
The
Jesus from Big Lebowski.
We're all dying.
Stanley Tucci was in the fourth Transformers. He's the wormy little bald white boy, not the fucking A.
John Turturro.
Turturro, yes.
Got there.
God damn, he was so good in Oh Brother Art Thou and everything else ever.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, there's a topic because I asked this on the regular one and everybody had no answers because people suck. So I asked this here. Name the best and the worst Coen Brothers films.
Are you mean worst or most overrated?
That's your decision to make for your answer. But I want the best and worst, or if you choose to classify worst as being most overrated, Coen Brothers films.
For me, the worst one is Hail Caesar, because I was so excited for that one. And I was really thinking it was going to be like a film noir, kind of like interesting like Hollywood piece. And it turned out to be something really different. So I don't know if that's like just my own personal taste, because it wasn't a bad movie, because I've never made an actual bad movie. But it was something for me that was really disappointing and different than what I was anticipating. And then for their best film, probably Fargo. God, that one's good.
I would say for the best, I would take Oh Brother, Where Art Thou as the best one. And I have not seen Hail Caesar, so I can't really comment on that one. I would say I'm tempted to pick No Country for Old Men as the most overrated, because I didn't think it was a...
Mike, you're kind of off the mic, man.
I'm off. Oh, okay. Sorry. I would be tempted to take No Country for Old Men as the most overrated, not because it's a bad movie, but I didn't think it was nearly as good as most people did.
That's fair.
Yeah, I said No Country for Old Men gets so much talking about and praise, but eh. But I'm torn. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou is really good, but I really liked Lady Killers.
Have you ever seen the original Lady Killers?
I haven't.
Yeah, Lady Killers, that's a hipstery choice there, because I don't think a lot of people would even go with Lady Killers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a solid one. It's
just goofy and funny, and there's a lot of great random quotes that you can spring on people.
So, I may be biased towards Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, because it's set up from where I grew up and where my family was, and there's a lot of things you miss if you're not from rural Mississippi.
See, for childhood nostalgia, my family watched Raising Arizona on an almost daily basis together, so I have that movie memorized, so that one's way in my heart, plus main character named after me, so you got to go with that. But Barton Fink is an amazing film as well.
Yeah. Actually, that was...
And then the Hail Caesar. I think you actually just stole my Hail Caesar rant that I did. I did the break room to you like at work a year ago when I saw it.
It was very close to Sunday.
Nate, I'm sorry I don't listen to your podcast.
I note that just now I didn't mention my podcast. I said
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Dan did.
I said the rant I did to you a year ago at the break room at work when I saw Hail Caesar.
Because I was expecting, for me, I was expecting Fade Out, which is a really great comic by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, I want to say. That's what I was hoping for, but it wasn't, and I might have stolen your rant, Nate. I'm sorry.
You son of a bitch.
I'm a monster.
And exciting news, David got a text message from Keith Christensen, which is almost unheard of.
Ooh. Yes, this is a rare and precious event.
I mean, I think I'm still waiting from the read sign I sent him like a year ago.
I can see if he read the one I sent him.
So, just a trivia on Old Brother, Where Art Thou? The prison they break out of in the beginning of the movie is Parchman Farm, and it was converted into a prisoner of war camp during World War II, and my great-grandfather was a guard at the prison during the war.
Oh, that's cool. When you started that story, he's like, oh, and my grandfather was. I was really waiting for you to say a prisoner there. I was be like, ooh, this turned weird.
That's fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Who amongst us hasn't done hard time?
Everyone but you.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, that would break me.
I mean, Jake's too young to have done hard time.
Oh, shut up, Dan.
He's in juvie last week.
He's too young to have done hard time and gotten out, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
You would not be tried as an adult, Jake. If you shaved, they'd be like, why is this 12-year-old on trial?
Someone did ask me why I had a beard. I literally had to explain them. When I started my job,
it was right after college, and I was going to have to do some training for people at work, and one of my coworkers said, you really should grow your beard. And I asked him why, and he said, because half the people in the class that you're going to be talking to are older and have worked here longer than you've been alive. Grow a beard.
Good times.
Good times.
Great oldies.
The energy in this podcast is electrifying. I mean, just like Valerian.
Sorry. I was just in the podcast like 2 days ago, so I already talked about a bunch of shit.
Well, I can't, like, last time I just went, I'm really excited about Cole Grima, but last time we did this, I just talked about her nonstop for 15 minutes, so I don't want to do that again.
Talk about Mega Civilization some more.
Go for it. I don't know anything about it.
Can you guess what civilizations are in it? Hold on. Let me pull up the AST, which the archaeological... Hold on.
Rome?
Sorry. Archaeological rum?
Rome. I'm guessing Rome's in it.
Your mom's in it.
Badoosh. You got me, Nate.
She's a douche?
Yep.
What?
We don't have a great relationship.
Why are you talking about your mom's douche? I'm so confused.
We all got different relationships.
All right, so the archaeological succession table. So it goes from the Stone Age through the Late Iron Age. So there's 18 civilizations. Let's see if you guys can get them all. So okay. You're going
Nathan
Rome.
Is actually writing something down on a napkin here. This is amazing.
Well, I don't have any. Rome is not in it. You gotta go Stone Age, man. We're going back further than Rome. So you are already wrong with Rome.
So Celts.
Celts are in it. I'm going to just tally mark and see when we get to 18. It's the easiest way for me to keep track. Actually, I can write. Celts were number 5. Number 5 on the list.
German? Germanic horde?
No Germanic horde.
Egyptians?
Egyptians are totally in there. You got Egypt is 17. Carthage, yep. Carthage is in there.
Sumeria?
No. No, we got Assyria though. That's okay. Basically the same thing, so we'll count that.
Hittites.
Harappans.
Huh?
Harappans.
Yeah.
Chinese.
No, this is
Indus River Valley.
Yes, Indus is in there. So it's actually well as much fun as this is. We got Minoa, we got Saba, Assyria, Maurya, Celt, Babylon, Carthage, Dravidia, Hatti. Kushan. Oh, I'm sorry. It was pink on black, so I couldn't read it. There is Rome. My apologies. Persia, Iberia, Nubia, Hellas, Indus, Egypt, and Parthia.
I'm surprised China doesn't have representation on that list.
Which Iberia is it? Is it Caucasian Iberia or...
There's the representation of their civilization with that little... I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Given the time period, it'd be pre-Moorish, so...
I mean, there's Caucasian Iberia is an ancient country in the Caucasus Mountains that happens to be called Iberia.
Oh, no, I think this is Spain, right?
Probably. I don't know. This is their name. Oh, I could look at the map and see where they start, but I don't have the map handy. I just had the list of the...
I thought you were, like, carrying around everywhere and being all like, look at my map.
Dude, I would break my back trying to carry that. It's the second heaviest game I own.
What's the heaviest?
Ogre Designer Edition, absolutely. It's the second heaviest game I own. It's the second longest game I own. It's the second most expensive game I own. This game is the king of being the second most.
The important question is, can we play this game on top of the ogre crate as a table?
I wonder... This might have the second biggest map, because if I put all the ogre maps together, it's probably bigger than this map is. Man, this game sucks. Never mind.
Second, why don't we just play ogre then?
Yeah.
Why haven't we played ogre?
That's an excellent question. I have so many games that I need to play more.
How much money did you spend on ogre?
Not as much as I spent on this or on that Conan game.
So then what's the most expensive game?
The most expensive game that I own is Dark Tower, okay. The old out-of-print Milton Bradley electronic game from, like, 1983.
That's Nathan's retirement fund.
Yeah.
All $25.
But that's out-of-print value. You know, that's not face value. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Including all the expansions, the Conan by Monolith game is the most expensive one that I own from face value. But if you don't count expansions or inflation due to being out-of-print, then Mega Civ is the most expensive game I own. True story.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. We've got some dead air here. So let me just another plug for Conflict Chamber. So we are doing the list submissions for the Wisconsin Team Championship. We have just added the Dallas Team Championship to that. We're doing the World Team Championship. And we're working on getting stuff together for the Nova Open. If you are running an event, that, especially one that has pre-registration, whether it's a solo event or a team event, get a hold of me, and I'll set up a page to handle submissions. And I think Nathan can vouch that it's pretty cool at this point.
Yeah, it's super handy as a TO, because what happens is, and you're setting it up automated now with this WITC, right, to send out the emails, or is that going yet? Because we did it manually last time with codes.
I've got it's at the point.
It's being worked on.
I have to run a script for it right now, but it requires basically no effort.
But it will soon be a feature, so I'm going to advertise it as a feature and put you over the barrel. That he has it set up where it sends out an email with unique codes to the individual players, or in the case of a team event, the team captains, and they use this code to access Conflict Chamber the same way that you normally access it to build your team. To build your lists, but they're saved on site on the server securely where nobody without the codes can see them. Apart from the TOs, we have universal access, of course, so we can do list verification. And that way, day of the event, they can just show up. Their lists are already submitted, their lists are already verified, and it's a lot easier than people coming in, having to write their lists on two sheets of paper on the day of the event.
Well, yeah, and it plugs right into Conflict Chamber's printout system.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely, because you can just print all the lists from there, and we can import them. We imported them over into.
Rick's
PG
software.
Swiss, yeah. PG Swiss yeah. last year, yeah. So that was also really cool to have them all just linked together, and we just threw it up on our website.
Yep. And we've got it set up so that after your list submission is done, we can automatically post all of the lists on the same page, and yeah, everything goes in. We can print up a whole stack of steamroller sheets for the event with everything pre-verified. That also includes theme benefits on the sheet and everything.
Yep.
Automates, and it saves a lot of time, especially if you've got a large event and you need to validate a lot of lists.
Yeah. So last year for the WITC, when you guys did it manually, it took 3 days of effort to do list verification.
Yeah, that's for the WITC,
yeah,
and then
so
for
that
the
was
ATC,
11 teams of five. For the ATC, we had 22 teams of five, and I think you guys had it done in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Plus contacting someone,
like the three people who had illegal lists, we just contacted because they literally just on Conflict Chamber it flagged that it was an illegal list, so we didn't even have to verify. We just saw those people and had them correct things. So yeah, handy.
So, quick question for you, Nate, since you're running the WITC.
I'm flattered, but I'm heterosexual.
Okay, I got a different question for you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
If an errata drops between list lock and the...
Erratum?
If it makes a list illegal, what do you do?
We try to avoid that happening.
That's one reason why our list lock period is only 2 weeks.
Okay.
If errata dropped... between list lock and the event, it would suck, and we'd have to figure something out. But
because there was a big stink on Facebook today with the WTC, kind of some people throwing their hands up in fury that there's going to be a theme force change between when list lock starts or List Lock happens and when the WTC actually happens.
Right.
So I was kind of curious about what you guys were going
to
do.
I'm not sure. We'd have to discuss it. We've luckily been able to avoid it so far. That, of course, was for luckily. To avoid it so far. My personal vote probably would be to go to play the lists as they were submitted, because letting people change their lists would give them an unfair advantage once the list had been put out there, because they would see the opponents.
Yeah.
So I think we would have to. I would lean towards running a technically illegal tournament by having old rules, but with War Room, that's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, and like 2 years ago when the Denny 2 nerf came in during WTC, you know, that's one thing where the rules changed, no points changed, so it just sucked for people to have lists wrong. You know, if we get into a hypothetical situation where the Mulk CID changes drop and all of a sudden he's 3 points more expensive,
right,
then we're in a different issue and we'll solve that problem if it shows up.
Yeah, because there seems to be at least, I mean, I only played for like the last year and maybe year and a half of Mark II, so like I never saw points change, and maybe they changed before then.
No,
they used to never do that.
That was usually the hard set thing was that point values never changed. Numbers never changed.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give somebody plus one rat. They wouldn't give someone minus one point cast.
I think that happened once in Mark II.
Well, Ryze gained reach. I don't remember any numerical changes ever.
And that was only because at that point they were working on the twins and realized he won't work, and she won't work if she doesn't have reach.
Yeah.
And she has the exact same weapon. I guess she gets reach in both.
Sure. But yeah, I don't remember any numerical changes at all.
I thought it happened once, and it was really weird.
Maybe. You might be right. And me not remembering and it not happening aren't the same thing as, you know,
but even then, that
test.
Was one out of probably 300 changes in Mark II.
But now, with that being more of a possibility, it's going to be a sticky issue for TOs, and they're all just going to have to decide how they do it.
Well, and I think that's one reason why doing a list lock a month out is a dangerous thing these days.
Yeah.
Yep. Because, you know, that works when you have one change coming every 6 months. When you have one change that could happen every 6 weeks, that's a much riskier prospect to lock yourselves in four weeks ahead of time.
Also, Conflict Chamber does support so that the TOs can go in and manually edit the list. So if this happens and we have to work around it, it's going to be simple to change it in the software, regardless of how difficult the actual administrative decision will be.
Right. So I don't know is the answer. I'd probably just DQ you.
Okay.
That's just for Quimby. If somebody else has that problem, we'll probably fix it.
Yeah. I thought that was clear.
I am the weak link on the team, Dan, so.
Yes, but
like, I'm just the loss that you guys are getting out of the way anyways.
Such a run-on sentence. You could have just said, I am the weak link, and stopped talking.
Hurtful, Nate.
Yeah.
Hurtful.
You're welcome. I there are two people that I never feel guilty being mean to. And you're one of them.
Thanks. It makes me feel kind of special.
See? I'm that's why I don't feel guilty.
Whereas I'm now curious.
Oh, we all know who the other one is. It's the person none of us feel guilty being mean to. Because if the world stopped being mean to this person, their ego would crush the planet.
Well, I mean, he does think there's 8 continents, so.
And one of them's named Austria.
Holy. What?
Only one of those two things is true. Maybe. I thought he thought that Australia was a city, was the country in Europe. It's the point where, geographically speaking, I can't remember the stuff we made up to mock him and the stuff he honestly believed, because they're equally stupid. He definitely thought there were 8 continents.
Yeah. Do you remember, Jake, how I was asking you the other day how many continents?
Yeah, but I hadn't gotten into an argument with you about what the definition of a continent was in response.
When he was so smug about his ability to name state capitals, he's like, you guys make fun about continents, but I know state capitals. And then he proceeded to get 4 in a row wrong. And they were his cherry-picked ones. Well,
including Madison, I think.
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Did he do Wisconsin?
Hey, but he did Texas. I think he did New York. You know, he did a couple of those big ones.
Ignoring Albany?
Yeah. Wow. Well, Texas, you know.
Yeah, he did states he lived in and got all of them wrong.
I don't think he would have gotten Madison wrong. Like, I think maybe he went 0-3, and then he had to grasp for Madison to make sure that he saved some face.
Wow.
Adorable. And then they went to Rome, despite my warnings.
India might be a continent, so.
Just saying, there could be eight. Just saying.
Well, I mean, it is not as a subcontinent?
If you're defining it as a subcontinent, then Europe should be defined as a subcontinent as well.
In which case, there's six, not eight.
Yeah, but if anything, you're going lower.
That's fine. But if we're saying that there's... this is an idiotic conversation.
So it sells...
Also, that is the point of this podcast that hasn't stopped us before.
Look up continent in the dictionary. It says Europe, and it doesn't say India. So, like...
I think that's just an example of Eurocentrism in history.
That's fine. We wrote history, so we get to do that. Whoa! Who was it that said... Oh, my God. This is getting too terrible. I'm mocking... No, not Eddie Izzard. There was some GOP politician who said that, like, nobody in history has committed...
Steve King, Republican from Iowa.
I mean, you're probably right, but continue.
Said what?
He said that no culture in history is... has given as much as white people have. I can't remember the exact quote, but
that's
along
cool.
the lines.
I was going to do the exact quote until you interrupted me.
Sorry.
That's the other reason why I don't feel guilty being mean to you.
Dude, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I interrupted the shit out of Jeff on Sunday, so I deserve it. And Pluto's a planet.
Yeah. I can't keep track of whether it is or not. It just seems to change.
I don't care what any dumb scientists say, God damn it. Instead of taking it away from Pluto, give it to Charon. Celebrate the uniqueness of their relationship.
What about Quarar?
Does it orbit a central point with its celestial lover? Because Pluto and Charon do. Weird. There's a romantic song about Pluto and Charon.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it's called I'm Your Moon.
Oh.
Let's talk about how as long as they have each other, they don't care what scientists say. They're a planet to each other. I'm making it up.
No, that's just pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to keep saying inane shit like this as long as everybody either just stares at me or looks at this fucking piece of paper,
well,
Jake.
I'm just feeling really bad.
Why are you staring at this piece of paper?
Because I'm making a decision.
Is that like a ninja shopping list for Gen Con?
No.
Oh. Because give me the thing, Outpost 51, whatever.
Are you going to Gen Con?
No. If I was, I wouldn't need a ninja shopper.
Okay.
You just don't pay attention to me.
I was confused.
You're so mean.
Also, why would you want to go to Gen Con anymore? It's too expensive and too many people.
It's too crowded, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually driving through Indiana during Gen Con, so I'm kind of terrified. I'm going home for that weekend.
Oh.
Why?
Wait a minute. Hold.
Celebrate my mom's birthday.
Don't you come from Michigan? Isn't that like the opposite direction?
You have to go around.
Yes, but Indy is down here.
Yeah, but you kind of have to go.
I'm going to go through
Indiana
the fucking UP.
No, his point is you have to go through Indiana, but you don't have to go through Indianapolis.
Well, I mean, the option is going through Gary, which isn't really any better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the whole of driving down towards Indianapolis is going to be clogged.
Well, that's just because you're going through Chicago. That'll always be like that.
Yes. I figure it's gonna be worse than normal, but probably not.
No, let's say just take a boat across Lake Michigan.
We were talking about taking the princess.
Swim, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna swim across the goddamn lake.
Inflate your tires really well, and you can just drive across.
I don't know if that's not true, but I have this sneaking suspicion it isn't.
Like, there's got to be a point where it is true, right? There has to be enough you could inflate your tires where you could drive across. Like, if you had, like, monster truck tires, like Bigfoot.
But the weight of them is, like, the weight of the rubber is going to start coming.
Yeah, you're better off just ratchet strapping barrels onto the side of your car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and just having, like,
Junkyard Wars proved that works.
I miss Junkyard Wars.
Oh, that was so enjoyable.
What is Junkyard Wars?
They did put these people in a junkyard.
The time when you were born.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, you're young. Children. So it's something from like 14 years ago when you were born. Mm-hmm. And
originally it was British, and then it became American and started sucking, like most television.
But at least it existed, which is better than not having it.
That's true.
But they took teams and they threw them in a junkyard, and they're like, all right, build a trebuchet. And then they would all build a fucking trebuchet and see whose was best.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And sometimes the junkyard was pretty realistic, and sometimes it was obviously stocked. Like when they would find working engines or a working lorry.
Oh, look at you using the British terminology.
British.
Did they search in the boot to find the rest of the equipment?
They did.
When they found those working engines, was it underneath the bonnet?
No.
Oh,
no, it would just be like an engine sitting there. It's like, hey,
what are the odds?
But
I can't judge. I watch like nothing but British television, so it's okay. British and South Korean.
I actually love Korean dramas.
No, Korean reality TV shows.
Really?
Like, The Genius.
I've never heard of this. Sorry, Nate.
Go on.
No, he doesn't deserve the genius. He doesn't deserve Sangmin, the demon prince. Fucking amazing. Sangmin. Oh, man. When he was behind the door when they did this... Ah, oh, never mind. I am not even going to go into the greatness of the genius with you, you piece of shit. I'm just angry, David. I'm sorry that you had to see this.
I understand. It's okay.
I post these things on Facebook. I talk to my friends about them. I mention them on the podcast.
I guess that means Quimby's not your friend if he wasn't reading it on Facebook.
Well, I know he's not my friend, but he's on my Facebook queue. Like, I have random libertarians jump in and talk about how lawyers are the devil and we should eliminate them. And then when I ask him how he'd solve a situation, he said he would hire a lawyer.
Yeah,
and he unironically did not see the issue with those two statements.
Man, I missed that one. And I'm not sure if I'm happy or sad that I missed that conversation.
Oh, I'll tag you in it when I get home.
Again.
It's great. Quimby, you have to watch The Genius.
Okay.
It's so good. There's four seasons, and then after you finish The Genius, I think Brian doesn't listen to this podcast, so I can say this. Because once he watched, every time I almost finish a season of The Genius, he marathons the next season to make sure I don't catch up to him because he wants to be smug about being a season ahead of me. So he's finished season three. I've finished season two. As soon as I start season three, he'll marathon season four, but then he'll be out of Genius episodes. So I'm not going to tell him about Society Game or Crime Scene until after we finish Genius, and I can start those shows and be ahead of him and be all smug about it.
So $5 for silence?
Yeah, maybe. Fuck you.
So here on the Oddcast, we have weaponized viewing television.
Yeah.
We've finally done it. America is complete.
Yeah, and that's the 10 seconds of silence while we all look at the clock to see if we can stop talking yet.
Andy. All right, so do we have something to talk about actual War Machine since we are sitting here at a shop that does War Machine at War Machine Night?
Nope.
Nope.
Dracodile has Assault with a 10-inch spray. That's exciting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Siege 2 looks terrible still.
Why?
He doesn't do anything to protect his army. And
he must do something.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about the model.
Oh, the model looks terrible. He looks like he slipped on some ice and is falling over backwards and flailing his arms.
Is it as bad as Kruger 2 being scared of a mouse?
It's worse than Kruger 2.
If you put Kruger 2 on a little chair, he looks like a 1950s housewife avoiding a mouse.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Siege 2 is worse than Kruger 2.
He really does look like he was running, and it's kind of snowy out, but he doesn't see the ice. He just like catches a patch. He's like, whoa, oh my God.
Yeah.
And that's his model.
At least he's not doing the double fist poop squat like so many things are. Is that Venathrax, Slaughterborn?
Like, or as you look at it, Barnabas 2 gets to surf on bones. It's actually pretty awesome. Siege 2 just looks dumb.
Have they explained yet where exactly Barnabas went to file the paperwork to get his name legally changed?
What happened?
He's Barnabas, all A's in the original one, and Barnabas 2 is Barnabus, B-U-S.
He ascended to godhood. Whoa. I think he can fix a spelling mistake.
So his original name was the incorrect one, or
it's like High Reclaimer, Testament of Menoth sort of thing.
No, it's not.
I mean, Caliban probably just screwed up the paperwork on the godhood form.
It's like if Cain 3 was spelled with a K instead.
Well, I mean, then technically they wouldn't conflict with the character rules because he's Barnabas 1 and Barnabas 2.
Where's Barnabas 1? Yeah. There is no Barnabas 1.
Yep.
They never released him.
So you can have both of them in the same army, and it's perfectly legal.
Nice. Good point.
Travis is going to stab us all now.
No, I'm doing that shit.
It's okay. He doesn't listen to this anyways.
No. Why the hell would he? 6.2.3.2.3, Nelson intercept modifier. If the Nelson leader is with the intercepting stack, one is subtracted from the die roll.
That makes no fucking sense.
It makes perfect sense. Admiral Nelson is an incredibly good leader, so his intercept roll is better.
You're familiar with the random patch note
Admiral Nelson is.
Twitter feed? You don't know who Admiral Nelson is?
No, I have not seen this.
You're not familiar with the random patch note Twitter feed?
He doesn't know who Admiral Nelson is.
We'll get to that.
Strange Log?
Yeah.
You would love to. Oh, I'm going to Strange Log.
So Strange Log is a Twitter feed of random patch notes from video games
with
no context
awesome.
Or explanation.
Oh, this sounds awesome.
Oh, it's amazing. You know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is recently for some of our research. I've been pouring through hundreds of gigabytes of GitHub comments.
Mm-hmm. So I feel that we could just write a Twitter bot to go through this rule book and just post random things, and we get the same effect.
Yeah.
And hipsters would consume it, and then we slide in some advertising, and it's great.
Crouch now crouches lower. You're welcome, Stephanie. You no longer fall in love with every sign you read. Bert will now give the correct amount of sand to players. Players can no longer shove their face through the fridge to eat food.
Indie game patch notes.
Yep.
Pets should no longer be able to walk down the cellar stairs into the void.
Just fortunately, the patch notes for Conflict Chamber are not publicly available.
You okay there?
Immortal characters should no longer die when making love too fiercely with their spouse.
What game was that?
Doesn't tell you.
It doesn't tell you.
It does
That's
not tell you. If you knew, it would, yeah. Family Gathering now has the option to require all babies to die. Rodent men don't use their new teeth to bite. Player corpses can only be harvested for religious purposes once every 30 minutes. Aggressive dogs near starting temple replaced with friendly or bouncing giraffes. Differentiated cats and goats more. They're a separate species, I guess. Who cares? Seriously. Axe murder re-added. Yeah, good times. Wizard casts magic using his wizard stick. Sometimes it says whizzle stick instead. This is a bug. Good times.
Yes. Yep.
You don't know who Admiral Nelson is?
Horatio Nelson.
You're Googling it, you sack of shit.
No, actually, I was talking to my wife. I got two packages in the mail. My troll tokens and the Grimkin starter box.
Oh, guys, Wyvern milk can no longer be put in refrigerators.
I didn't know Horatio Nelson was
so the important question then, Jake, is are you team Piggyback or team Naslayer?
I'm going to be on team... Hopefully neither. I actually hate the look of both of those models. But I guess I'm going to go with Naslayer, I guess. I don't know. Non-committal.
Goat folk no longer always hate baboon faction leaders for disproving famous theorems.
I want to play that game.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, is that an option now? I mean, I want to be able to re-enable that if I feel it improves my game experience.
The saddest thing is some of these I recognize the game. Like, there's no your eunuch sons will no longer get the serving maids pregnant. Has to be Crusader Kings 2. It absolutely
I mean,
must be.
I really
be.
Think, like, half of these are Crusader Kings 2.
Gorillas no longer speak English when they get annoyed at you.
Crusader Kings 2.
Of course, yeah.
The going giraffes thing is pretty funny.
Yeah. Necklace British women fixed. If you manage to seduce your spouse, it will no longer be considered a scandalous act of incest. My guess is that is Crusader Kings 2, and it's because of the relationship flagging. It probably considered your spouse to be a relative. Mm-hmm. True story. I put my phone away.
What is Crusaders King 2?
It is a feudal. It's feudal Europe simulator.
You're aware of Europa Universalis?
Yes.
Okay.
I own the fourth one because I saw interesting YouTube videos about it, and it was on sale on Steam.
It's
Crusader Kings 2 is sort of the prequel to, or Crusader Kings 1 and 2 are sort of prequels to Europa Universalis, is that it covers the even more weird part of history right before Europa Universalis starts.
And then they turned that down a little bit because they realized they went a little bit overboard in Crusader King.
Yeah. I mean, there's the whole series. You go from the Crusader Kings, which is basically the 13.
That's another game where you have the training manual and course and law exam to figure and to play it correctly.
Printed. I never got into Crusader King 2 because I devoted too much of my brain to Dominions 4, and I printed the rule book for Dominions 4, and it is 400 pages.
I played the hell out of the Europa Universalis line.
What's the Tide of Iron, right? That's the World War II game.
Yes.
Yeah.
that's very similar. It's by the same people.
Oh, yeah. It's a Paradox game. It's gonna hurt.
Yeah, I mean, for some of them, they've got it set so that you can convert a save game at the end of one of them to a start state of the next one.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah,
that's sweet. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Crusader King 2, you basically are spending 450 years of European history just trying to breed nobles.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's like
Sounds
the Sims
like
with nobles.
Fun.
And try to, you know, you have like three sons and the shitty one's the youngest, so you like send the other two off to war and cross your fingers that nature will take care of things and that the youngest son will become the oldest son. Yeah, it's just little stuff like that.
Huh. That's... God, that sounds like an intense game.
And then there's incest and religion and backstabbing and lots of murdering. And
of course, a Game of Thrones mod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, naturally. They pretty much have to be. I'm like three seasons behind on Game of Thrones. I need to catch up. Apparently, it's quite good.
Some of it, yeah. Some of it's not good. For example, if you're three seasons behind, you have the Sand Snakes to look forward to.
Yay.
No. No.
Sorry. No.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, when HBO got added to Hulu, I looked into how much, you know, I'm like, oh, okay. I can finally stream this easily, and with something I already pay for. You know, how much time would it take me to get caught up? And then I'm like, 63 hours of content to get caught up. This isn't going to work before season 7 comes out.
Well, it could have.
Oh, they're on season 7?
Well, then you get all of it caught up before season 8.
Yeah. I'm 4 seasons behind.
Or you
bad.
Or you just
At this
wait.
Point, I'm just going to wait 7 more episodes and then be able to just shotgun the entire thing.
9 more episodes, excuse you. There's 4 more this season and then 5 next season.
Only 5 episodes in the last season?
Yeah.
That's weird.
And is the last one just going to end with Martin dying?
Fingers crossed. Hopefully the last one ends with Quoth showing up and resolving the Kingkiller Chronicles.
What?
Kingkiller Chronicles?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Man, fuck you.
Sorry.
What kind of Wisconsinite are you? What kind of fantasy novel reader are you?
I'm actually from Michigan. I'm more of a sci-fi novel reader.
Son of a bitch. Name of the Wind?
Dave.
Name of the Wind, Dave?
No.
You know the Name of the Wind? What the hell, Patrick?
Why do I have a phone-a-friend option if you're not going to help me out, Dave?
The Kingkiller Chronicles is the new hotness. It's Patrick Rothfuss's fantasy series, and he managed to get 2 books into it before hitting George R.R. Martin syndrome, and the third and final book in the trilogy has been languishing for like 6 years now.
So okay. Brian should send him a copy of Misery?
Probably. Yeah.
That's so messed up.
The first book, The Name of the Wind, is... I think the greatest fantasy novel ever written. Ever.
I'll have to check it out.
Super good. I have read that book so many times because I just kept it on the side, like my bedstand, and at night I would just open it to a random page and read the rest of it.
Intense.
Such a good book. Annie Alladin seems great. You read it?
No, I haven't.
Son of a bitch. You at least know of its existence?
I am familiar with
okay.
it.
Okay.
Probably
but anyway,
because
Patrick
of
Rothfuss,
similar situations like this in the past.
I've heard
Probably.
Of Patrick Rothfuss.
Yeah, he's a local. Yeah, that's fine. Go fuck yourself.
Sorry, guys.
How dare you?
I'm not actually from Wisconsin, though.
You don't
Neither
have to
am
be.
I.
Yeah, see?
But you don't know what it was.
I've heard of Patrick Rothfuss.
God, he wins.
Damn it, Dave.
Tack. Good board game, Tack. That's actually from the Kingkiller Chronicle books. They play Tack, and they released in the real world, and it's a good two-player, what's the word I'm looking for? Whatever. Two-player board game, but there's a word I'm looking for that I'll remember in 5 minutes, and shout out.
Okay.
That means we have to stall for 5 more minutes?
No, I just talk about anything else, and I'll just randomly shout, I felt like it was going to come out that time, and it just didn't.
Anyway, Siege 2 is terrible.
Yeah, what's wrong with him? What's his rules? Don't just say he doesn't blank. I want to know what...
So his spell list is...
Wait, before you continue this, I would like to quote back from recent past. Somewhere around March 11th, one Jake Quimby sent a text message saying, I think Kane 3 is crap.
I remember that. Yes. He said the same thing to me, too.
He has a less than 50% success rate, as proven by his going 19-0.
I was not 19-0. I was 19-1.
Okay. Good point. Let me do the quick math on that one. Is that
95%?
Well, so that is that less than 50?
Also, I said he was a 40-60 caster.
Are we doing regular?
At least you're right.
Are we doing regular math?
40 is less than 50.
I know. I said he was about 40% of the time.
Are we doing regular math or Michigan math?
Right.
Ha 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 ha. You're so funny.
I mean, we don't come from the militia capital, so.
I don't. We're not the militia capital.
Michigan's the militia
abstract.
Capital.
Abstract. A two-player abstract board game.
All right, cool.
Nailed
it.
Stalled long enough. We can now end the podcast.
What's his feat? What's he do? Give me Siege 2. I want to know what you're going to go 19-1 with next year.
God damn it.
He has Fury. He has a hammer. He can place a turret that can theoretically get two AoE 4 shots a turn that are...
AoE 3.
Oh, AoE 3, but they're high explosive, aren't they?
Yes.
He has... In addition to Fury, he has one other decent support spell.
Oh, it is AoE 4.
Oh, yeah, it is AoE 4.
I'm so terrible at this. Okay, so he's got...
May I?
Yeah.
He has Fury. I mean,
and then you also have to go to the next model down.
Because that's his rocket turret.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's got Fury, which is good. He's got high ground, which is a really cool spell. He's got Razor Wall. He's got Battering Ram. I think that's his entire spell list.
Into the Avenger. Yeah, I mean, into the current meta where we care a lot about things like Dark Host and Grimkin and Ghost Fleet.
He doesn't keep the army alive, Nate.
Razor Wall, you sack of shit.
How is that not keeping his army alive with fucking Razor Wall?
Because I'm going to get shot to death.
Because you cast Razor Wall and then you walk backwards?
Yeah, or walk around it, or ignore it.
Or you put Razor Wall down and
go above
it.
So what's one of the best colossals in the game that always has access to Arcane Shield and can drop two more wall templates gun down?
Oh, what am I going to do, put Hallowed Avenger on the Stormwall?
No, but you're going to put Covering Fire, Raising Wall, Covering Fire, and have a foot of impassable terrain that murders any infantry that tries to go through it automatically. Also, you can't walk around shit if you're trying to charge.
I'm more worried about him shooting all my infantry to death.
The infantry that has high ground because of that other spell he has?
And is sitting in a trencher cloud wall.
Okay, Death 15 isn't going to save trenchers. Both you and I have played Signar. Fair you know enough. That it's not going to save trenchers.
I mean, isn't that half of how Haley 3 list works, is Death 15 trenchers?
Yeah, but they're behind a cloud wall because of whatever it's called. Tactical supremacy. Yeah. Like,
good lord. Razor Wall...
I mean,
two covering fires with Razor Wall in between is insane.
I have been single wound infantry incorrect a couple of times in the past on how good a caster is.
What's his feat?
Move 3 inches and then dig in.
Hey, wait a second. So let me just double check something. Does 3 inches get trenchers out of a trencher quad? I don't know the math on this. Somebody might have to double check the math here.
It happens immediately, so I'd want to use it to have things go forward to get into charge range as a threat extender.
So having options is bad, is what I'm hearing here.
Congratulations, Jake. You are now the internet.
You might not use the feat for Amazing Thing 1 because you might want to use it for Amazing Thing 2 instead. Jake, the internet, Quimby.
Hate all of you.
I'm going to add that to your list of titles.
All right. So now we need a betting pool of when Jake switches to Siege 2 as his primary caster.
It's going
to
be Siege 2, Kane 3.
By the way, Jake, I love you in American Gods. The joke is the internet is one of the gods on American Gods. You're welcome, folks.
I am...
Jake, I need you to stall for a minute so I can find your list of titles. I think now is as good as anything to reveal it.
Oh, God.
Especially because I think that might actually break the printer functionality, so we might be able to not do that.
Oh, that's too bad.
I can fix the printer functionality.
I'm worried about him keeping things alive, and he seems like a worse version of Striker 2, who's a caster I'm quite fond of. He does a lot of the same things.
So his feat gives dig in to everything in his army?
I'd have to check the wording,
it's
but
it's 3 inches and dig in.
It's warrior, small and medium bases. Because they specifically say it didn't work with Stormlight.
Yeah, so I mean, you play him in Grave Diggers.
Yeah,
because he actually has Fury. So
he also gives Bulldoze to Warjacks in his battle group as part of that feat.
So I mean,
I don't know if the Warjacks get dig in or not.
What is the size of the AOE on? Higher ground.
I thought it was a 5.
It's a 4.
It's a 4. Okay.
I'm almost positive it's a 4.
So you can't put a storm wall on it.
Correct.
Yeah.
They fixed that one.
Yeah.
Well, what would that do anyway?
Let it
arcane fire.
Oh, right, right. Yes, yes. Sorry.
You can still. I mean, you can.
I was still thinking of the defensive part of it, but yeah.
Yeah. We can no longer put it on an enemy model, which would be nice. Like raise the caster up so I can shoot him to death. Can't get everything, I guess. Are you going to stab me?
No. I'm still doing the math on that trencher wall thing.
I mean...
And I didn't know Striker 2 had Razor Wall.
He doesn't have Razor Wall, but he's got a lot of ways. He's got D-Cell to keep the army alive. He's got...
What does D-Cell do against charging things?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm not worried about charging things.
Yeah, why are you so much more about guns versus melees?
Because I've been... Honestly, it's probably because I've been playing so much Kane 3 that my brain has just stopped working correctly, and I'm always concerned about that extreme gun threat is like significantly more than the charge threat. And a Razor Wall is for single wound, does really well against single wound infantry. I haven't seen a lot of that around. I've seen a lot of Jacks in Madison, and that might be part of it as well.
What about like Ghost Fleet and shit like that?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is that most of the meta boogeymen outside of Kane 3 right now are increasingly single wound infantry.
Yeah,
that's
and
fair.
I think that's just going to improve. So I mean, having a Razor Wall caster in a faction that has an amazing colossal that can then drop two more covering fire templates is going to be pretty.
I just
good.
Really, really wanted him to have Spell Piercer. It would have been perfect.
Well, then
it's
you
like
can
how
play
you
fire
hated
on.
Kane 3 because he didn't have what spell did he not have? Was that also Spell Piercer? I don't remember.
No, there wasn't a spell.
I thought it was. I remember you hated Kane 3 specifically because he was missing one thing.
It was probably because it was Locomotion instead of Energizer.
Yeah, I think that might have been right. That sounds about right.
Yeah. All right, so we're getting the symbol from Andy that we should finish up. So let's continue this actual first topic we've had.
Kane 3's baller. Siege 2's probably ended up being great, although I think he's terrible right now. Talk to me in about 2 months and I'll probably change my mind because that's how I roll. I think Cole Grim is great, so sorry, troll players. She's probably ass.
What do you run with Striker 2?
Two units of Storm Lances occasionally, or I've started trying him with a single unit of Storm Blades.
Remind me, are Storm Blades single wound infantry? You know what's good about Storm Blades? Razor Wall.
I mean, you do realize Siege 2 is basically Axis with a gun.
Yeah. And I can tell you from playing Axis
awesome.
That, holy shit, Razor Wall infuriates people.
Okay.
Also, 3 inches gets you out of a trencher cloud.
Okay.
And then you can be dug in on a hill.
Because
that's
you
pretty
have
sweet.
Higher ground.
I get that. Thanks, Dave.
And dig in on your feet. Or you could use it offensively.
Yeah, his,
I mean, defense
fine.
20
his
is
model
probably
like
okay for
that.
Okay,
for
his model is terrible.
All right.
Point taken.
Thank you.
At least he's not in a toilet,
so we'll
though.
Tune in next week for Jake's Jesus unbiased Darius. Review on why Siege 2 is completely broken and should be banned from the game.
Please, when I got there with K3, I'm like, dude, he needs to be a little bit better. They need to uncap his feet. They just get rid of that governor and get it up as high as you want. That's where I was with Kane. He'd be fine.
This is why we kicked you off the team in Dune.
Hakonan! That was pretty fun.
You were sad.
I was sad mostly because you kicked me off for someone else. If you just like soloed it, I would have been fine.
So like, you know, it's like being broken up with versus somebody leaving you for another person.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if we had another Nexus, we probably would have ditched Josh.
Yeah. In retrospect, we should have just not let him join the team that time. He didn't bring as much to the table as we thought. But Dan and I winning as a duo again just would have looked bad. Like next
especially
game,
especially because I almost got the Bene Gesserit right.
Yeah, and that's very flattering because there's no way you choose Guild 8 with, like, if all players are equal, I don't think you choose Guild 8, so I was very flattered that he chose me.
I had a ton of fun playing the Dune game.
Yeah.
If you have a chance to play the Dune game, do it. Harkonnen is a ton of fun.
They're all fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next time I want to play Atreides. I haven't played Atreides in
one
forever.
One of these times I'll play a faction that I actually have to follow the movement rules. I still don't know what they are.
I mean, I think that really just leaves the Emperor. Because, obviously, Fremen and Guild and Benny all fuck with movement rules. And Atreides and Harkonnen start with Karthag and Arrakeen.
Oh, so they have
Ornithopters. So they have Ornithopters to start. So really, yeah. Only the Emperor. And he starts with nobody on the planet. So that's also a little funky.
That's true.
Should we go play Dune now?
Okay. All right, bye, everyone.
All right,
bye.
Bye.